Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Sarah Eisen.
Okay, let's not waste any more time and let's find out what's going on, because we've been sitting here speculating all day about what's going on with the euro. Let's ask the man who would know.
Derek Halpeny is the head of currency research at Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi in London. He joins us on the line right now. Good to speak with you, Derek. Why now? Why all of a sudden? We've had a crisis pretty much all year. We're seeing the euro break down.
Well, I think after each failed summit, the markets conclude that, you know, the answers simply can't be achieved. And that's resulting in the markets looking ahead and seeing very little in terms of near-term potentials for restoring confidence in the Eurozone debt markets. You know, we had supposedly a crucial summit on the 27th of October, which was going to save the euro. And the aftermath of that, we saw a sharp move lower. Then we saw some recovery in the hope going into the summit on the 9th of December. Again, the markets have been disappointed. And now we kind of look into the abyss and see very little in terms of restoring confidence.
Yeah, but we had a summit that was going to solve all the problems on July 21st, and it didn't, and the euro still stayed up there. Is it finally just fool me once, fool me twice, fool me five times, I finally get it?
I suppose to a degree. Certainly, I heard you earlier speaking about some of the flow dynamics, and they certainly are changing when you look back at the period of time you spoke about in which the euro was holding up quite well. And what was evident in the kind of the middle part of this year was that although there was confidence being undermined in eurozone debt markets, there was still quite solid demand for investments into core bond markets. And if you take the second and third quarter, for example, the first and the second quarter, the flows into the eurozone debt markets were record highs. They were huge. So foreign investor inflows into debt markets were very, very substantial. But that has taken a turn for the worse now, and the most recent data shows that we are seeing net selling by foreign investors of debt markets. And I think that reflects the fact that the contagion, slowly but surely, is spreading. And that leaves foreign investors with no choice but simply to ignore the entire market. And that is something that has changed from the summertime when you mentioned the earlier summits. And that's the crucial point, I think. We're seeing the contagion spread to pretty much all markets, and that's just reinforcing the uncertainties going forward.
I'm looking at all of the peripheral countries, the pigs, as they're colloquially known, and all of their yields are up, except for Spain. Spanish bond yields are down. They had an auction of bills yesterday that went very well. Is there something about Spain that's causing investors to differentiate at this point?
Well, certainly some of the focus has shifted away from there. I suppose there is some degree of hope in terms of the new leadership that have come into power under Mr. Rajoy. It's interesting you should ask that, because, you know, we were just talking about it here before coming on to you, in terms of, you know, we've heard very little from Rajoy at this point in time in terms of the planned structural reform that's to be implemented. And if you consider how fast the Italian technocrat PM Mr. Monti implemented his program of austerity, I would imagine pretty soon the markets could very quickly turn their attention to Spain if we don't start to see some kind of indication in terms of what the policy steps will be. To answer your question, I think it's primarily based on hope more than anything else. And of course, the Spanish situation is somewhat different in terms of the indebtedness is more in the private sector rather than in the sovereign. Don't forget, Spain's overall debt to GDP is just a little bit over 60% at the moment. And that is a differentiating factor between it and, of course, Italy, where most of the attention is at the moment.
Italy is at 6.7% if you're looking at the 10-year yield right now. Had a debt auction, managed to sell bonds this morning, highest interest rate since 1997. So we're all waiting, Derek, on what? The austerity plan, the austerity measures to pass through Monti's government by the end of the month?
Well, yeah, that as well. And again, going back to Spain in terms of the private sector, in terms of the banking sector, in terms of the potential problems, the one thing we should look at next week is the LTR of the LTRO from the ECB. And in terms of the measures that were announced from the ECB in its policy meeting last week, the 36-month LTRO could be, you know, extremely significant. You know, this is an incredible lift in terms of supporting banks in terms of being able to get 3-year liquidity, unlimited supply at around the cost of the refi rate. And if you consider then that these countries can then go and invest in their own sovereign bond markets at yields of 6-7%, there's a very attractive carry trade there for these banks, which we don't think we've seen
in this week's auctions yet, though.
No. Well, in terms of, it will be interesting to see what the take-up on the LTRO is next week. It's the longest that the ECB has offered in terms of 36 months. Certainly the larger the take-up is, the more the immediate conclusion of the markets will be that there is that element of potential financing to come from the banks in terms of investing in their own domestic sovereign bond markets.
Could this be the backdoor ECB help that everybody's been looking for, the help that they're looking for from the ECB, but through the back door?
Well, yes, to a degree, in terms of it's something that has been in place, and this kind of loop of financing sovereigns through the ECB, through the banks, has been utilized. It was certainly very evident in Ireland, but it doesn't solve the confidence issue in terms of solvency. And the problem is that the longer it goes on, the investor confidence can still ebb away, like it did in Ireland. And essentially, it was the ECB that really forced the Irish government into taking the bailout in which it did. It certainly helps in terms of stabilizing things, but it doesn't restore confidence. And those issues still need to be addressed in terms of the bigger solvency problems.
Derek, we're watching gold here. Everybody's buzzing about this. It has really taken a hard fall, and we're looking at the lowest level right now since September 26, 1605. It's broken a few key levels. I guess gold isn't trading as a safe haven currency anymore in the crisis. What do you make of what's happened with gold and all the correlations out there right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, we were looking at that earlier on, and looking back to, say, for example, the percentage decline that we had post Lehman Brothers. And if you were to make the simplistic conclusion that there is the potential for a similar type of correction to take place, if things in Europe intensify and we get further risk aversion in the first quarter of next year, you could very easily see a similar correction of about 25% from the most recent peak, which would be taking us back to about 1,400. I certainly think that is very plausible. We're now in a situation where we're in the longest phase of dollar recovery from a most recent low, that is just over 3 months. The longest phase of dollar recovery since the Lehman Brothers crisis, and I think that has implications for some of these assets that have historically correlated very well with the dollar. And certainly, I think that there is a greater prospect now that we could see an even bigger liquidation in gold. And obviously, there is this constant speculation in terms of central banks liquidating some of their gold holdings as well.
Fascinating, and it is maybe a turning point. Who'd have thought? Maybe somebody washed that dirty shirt of the dollar. Derek Halpany, thank you very much for joining us today. Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi, head of currency research.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2011.